How do you create, develop, and cultivate leadership in your organization? Imagine what can happen when you have mission-minded leaders and enthusiastic team members who believe they can build business as a force for good. Hi, everybody. My name is Jason Lipper, the CEO at LCI Industries, and I welcome you to this edition of Built to Lead podcast. We are delighted to share the real-life experiences of others who have courageously stepped into the power of creating a culture that feels like family, a culture where every team member has a deep sense of purpose. Take what you hear today and be inspired to build a culture of caring, giving, and leading in your organization. Amazing things happen when you place people at the core of what you do every day. Welcome to this edition of Built to Lead.
Welcome back to the Built to Lead podcast. This is Edgar Cabello, one of the leadership directors at Lippert, and I am here today with John Ravenscroft. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. I mean, John has a pretty amazing story. We have so many of these kinds of stories floating around Lippert, but John and I ran into each other at a leadership event just last week. Again, got reunited, so to speak, yep. And reminded again, like, wow, we need to talk, and we need to talk in this forum here. So John is the outbound operations manager at Plant 39 in Lippert. It's actually located in Mishawaka, Indiana. So John, yeah, welcome again, and tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get here?
Kind of got here to Lippert through a means that was not normal, I guess. It was through a complete career change. So I guess where to start was I spent 16 years in the restaurant business, mm-hmm. was where it all began. Went to school at Purdue, lived around here my whole life, went to school at Purdue, thought I wanted to do computer programming, started taking classes for it and realized that it wasn't where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
The zeros and ones and staring at a computer screen just wasn't feeding my appetite. So ended up finding hospitality and tourism management along the way. I had some friends, and they were involved with it, and started taking some of the courses. Like, oh, man, this is great, because everything was group work, and I'm a very social person.
Sure.
I love dealing with groups, and I love trying, you know, working with
different
people.
I can see you in that industry for sure.
Yeah, and yeah. It was awesome, because, the lot of the classwork, I've never been a homework person. That's just not, like, I was never good at it. Not that I wasn't good at it, I just didn't prioritize it. So this was also great, because a lot of it was projects, and a lot of public speaking. You had to do presentations, and it was awesome because it fed my need to put on a show, I guess.
Okay.
In high school, I did musicals and plays and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just love the constant group interaction and the environment that created. So I began on my restaurant career. And like I said, I spent 16 years in the restaurant business. When I first got in, it was great. You know, young, I was 25 years old and living my life and making good money, and it was awesome. And then, you know, I got older. Ended up having a daughter, and some priorities changed. And as I kind of got through and, you know, more and more in my years, it became more of a grind.
Okay.
And it got rough. You know, so the one thing with restaurants is, you know, as much as they always try and say, we care about the employee, we care about the employee, it was always employee. It wasn't team member. It was employee, which is totally different when you come here.
Yeah, we try to pay attention to the language, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. No, because it does make a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, an employee is someone who works for you. A team member is someone who works with you.
Right on.
And that's the difference. When you're a team member, you're part of a team. And it didn't have that feeling. So unfortunately, as part of my journey through the restaurant business, addiction became a real thing. You know, there was a lot of unhappiness. So when you're working 60 hours a week and you're working 6 days a week, or, you know, sometimes 7 days a week, it gets rough, it gets taxing. And for me, you know, alcohol was the thing that I loved the most. It was easy to get to.
Absolutely.
You know, once you're over 21, it's completely legal.
Right.
So you have free access to it.
Yeah.
And at the time, it makes you feel better, because, you know, once you start drinking, you forget about all your problems, and mm-hmm. you become happy. And I became too happy with it. You know, I was at the point where I'd leave work and I'd go to the bar and have four or five beers, and I'd leave and go home and have another five or six drinks when I got home.
Sure.
So, you know, you're talking on, and that was on a daily basis.
That's daily. Okay.
Yeah, that was.
So you're drinking heavily at this point.
Yeah, drinking heavily. And, you know, I always said, oh, it's not a problem. I only have a few drinks here. I only have a few drinks a day. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal. But, you know, when you wake up hungover every day,
that's the regular, that's not good.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when you're at that point, to you, just waking up with a hangover is just another day. It's just kind of par for the course.
And I would imagine in that business that it's kind of the cost of doing business in a way, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing, you know, you leave work, you go out with some friends,
yep.
like pretty normal, socialize, That yep. scratches the old itch, right?
Yep.
And then it, but it tumbled into something else.
Yep. Well, and just, I mean, if you look at the restaurant business in general, especially with chefs mainly, depression is super high. Mm. Suicide rates are extremely high, and yeah. addiction is like those three things are,
sure.
are massive, you know, problems with the restaurant
okay.
business.
Okay.
There's not a lot of love,
right.
You know, because with the restaurant, in restaurants in general, you don't make a lot of money. Yeah. You on average only make three pennies on a dollar.
Wow.
So you're always watching your costs. Mm. So we were always told, take care of your staff. But as especially, you know, as you don't make as much money or your business starts slowing down, you get into slower season, they may change the, you know, how staff meals are. Instead of a free meal, now they have to pay 50%.
Sure.
And things like that, you know, yeah. you start taking things from the yep. team members like
that hurts.
And,
yeah.
and it does hurt. And, yeah. you know, it hurts our ability as you know, as management staff or as leaders to try and quell their anger
yeah.
From those.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, we try and do the best we can, but it's still, it's a grind. And then, you know, you take those things away and then it's like, okay, we still need more.
So as chance would have it then, a couple of folks, I remember the place where you worked.
Yeah.
And I remember you actually in
yep.
that place. So, I mean, there were other Lippert folks that came through there. Somewhere along the way, you met some people that ended up starting this conversation with you. Is that right?
I did. So the restaurant I was working at was actually on the verge of closing. And I was at the point where I knew I needed to get out of the restaurant business anyways. My daughter was going to be going to school in the fall. And I wanted to make sure, you know, she's number one in my life. She's super important. I didn't want to miss anything. I mean, yeah. I'm only going to get one chance to
yeah,
watch her grow
right.
up, right? Only going to get one chance. In the restaurant business, you know, you could be working all kinds of crazy hours and it's not consistent. I knew I wanted something Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So had a team member who worked for me and worked for Lippert and like, hey, you need to check it out. Great culture, great company. Think you would love it. Think you would fit in. Well, I was little hesitant because going from restaurant industry, right? I spent 16 years and then
yeah.
technically starting my career over in the RV industry at 36 years old is a super scary thing. But I ended up, I was like, all right, you know, let me check it out. So ended up putting a resume in, came in for an interview, did a job shadow, and that job shadow was enlightening.
Yeah.
It was wild.
What was it, man?
So I came in and into the customer service part over at 39B. And sat down and did a job shadow with one of the team members there named Jessica. And as soon as I sat down, something just felt different. I just looked around and all I saw were smiling faces and people getting along and people walking over and saying, hey, how are you this morning? How was your weekend? How was your day? How is, you know, everything going? How are your daughter? And I'm just like, and as I keep watching this and more of these interactions.
Yeah.
And even Jessica, who I was sitting with, was just like, hey, yeah, I'm so glad to have you here. This is awesome.
Like, let me show you what I do. What planet am I on?
And I was taken back. Because, you know, you'd walk into most restaurants and people are just, staff's
yeah.
head are hanging
worn
down.
Out, man. Yeah.
They're worn out. They're yeah. tired. And then you walked in here and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
I've never seen this before. So went through the job shadow process and loved it. Got a call back from HR and was like, hey, we want to bring you on. Would you be interested? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Yes. When do I start? And the wild thing was I took a 33% pay cut to come.
Oh, wow.
But that didn't scare me, like, because I knew that at some point I'll be able to get back to where I need to be.
Sure.
And for my health, this for mentally and everything, this was what I needed to do. And just seeing the attitudes and the smiling faces and the positivity that was radiating in that room and just in that hour that I was there, I was like, yeah, I think this is where I need to be.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
interesting. So, but you still had to have a job, right?
Yeah.
Like, so what? So you get past the threshold of like, okay, this is absolutely different than what I'm used to.
Yep.
So what was your first step into the company? What were you doing? I'm asking.
Yep. So when I first started, I actually joined the customer service team.
Okay.
Because that was a natural fit.
Right.
I mean, coming from restaurant business,
yep.
not knowing much about the RV industry, you know, the segment, anything, but customer service is customer service. If I can learn the product, I can deal with people anywhere,
yeah.
whether it be on the phone, in person, whatever.
Sure.
I'm not concerned about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So customer service kind of translates across the board.
Yeah.
So it was a great fit. And having spent in the 16 years I was in the restaurants, about 14 of it was in management. So
okay.
I knew at this point, like I don't want anything to do with management. I just want to step back and, you know, take a little bit to collect myself.
Just kind of dust off.
Yep.
Yep.
And just focus on a new career. And so I spent the first year with Lippert and the customer service team on the aftermarket side, answering
yeah.
phones, emails, And it was great. But the one thing that I realized was after about the first year was that I missed leading people.
Wow.
I missed it. As much as I was good at my job and I got a bunch of praise for what I did, but yeah. I didn't feel fulfilled, you know, there's just something empty, something
right.
missing.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I was like, I miss leading people. So it was right around when COVID started.
So how did you make that known? I mean, because that can be a little yeah. awkward, right? Like you're feeling it.
Yep.
But you're relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you open that conversation up? Like, tell me that part of the story. I'm curious.
Yeah. So Angie was one of my leaders. As I got a couple months in, I just let her know. I was just kind of brought up like, hey, you know, I would love to take a tour of the warehouse. And that's how I started. So I said, I'd love to take a tour of the warehouse. She's like, why? I was like, I would just love to see it. You know, I'm like, I may have some interest at some point and ended up in our warehouse. I just would love to take a tour. She's like, okay. Went out and did a tour. And then we used to have production walks in the morning. She's like, hey, would you be interested in starting doing production walks? I'm like, yeah, I would. Started going around.
Hey, you're pretty crafty, I got to tell you. I like it. Nice move.
Yeah. So, because I was on the way on the tour, I was asking, I was like, what's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? And then they're asking about the production boards. And I saw a walk going on. I was like, well, what's that? They're like, oh, it's a production walk, and they go through the production board to say what's going on in each cell and
sure.
whatnot. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, oh, that's very interesting. And that was how, would you be interested in joining one of those? I'm like, absolutely. So then I started joining the production walks. And then as that started going, Angie and I started doing one-on-ones, and I just made it very, very clear to her. I was like, hey, Angie. I was like, don't get me wrong. I love the customer service team. This is great. I mean, I love what I'm doing up here. I was like, but I miss, like, there's something about leading people. And to me, the warehouse had that restaurant feel
yeah,
to
yeah.
it. I was like, you know, I'm missing that part of my life. I'm missing that part. And she goes, okay, let's see what we can do. So we wow. kept having one-on-ones and we kept building on as I kept doing these walks. And then I ended up going out there and spending a couple of different days shadowing where I went from department to department. And, you know, she was like, well, where would you want to go? I was like, honestly, anywhere I can be effective. So I know that's kind of broad. It seems.
But it's. It's kind of normal around here. And I know it's yeah. hard for people to believe. Honestly, what you just described in terms of a leader who was, you know, probably knowing she was going to say goodbye to a really good team member
mm-hmm.
to push you off into some other part of the business so that you could follow like your passion.
Yep.
I mean, we hear that. I hear that more and more throughout the organization. And I don't think that's normal either. I'm sure it happens in other places, but that's kind of how we do business around
yeah.
here. Like we listen pretty closely to what our people are saying. And I love the way that you open that up, but I'm honestly, that is how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a tour around this part of the business? Or, you know, I'd love to learn about this. Or like people are very curious about what their path forward looks like. And then I love your response, you know, anywhere I can be effective. I mean, like what's behind that?
I mean, you know, so having worked, you know, those in that first 6 months with Angie, she got to know my personality pretty well. And I, you know, she knew that my ability to be able to speak and lead and talk with people,
sure.
To be able to understand people was pretty clear. So, you know, when I said, where can I be most effective? I knew that she still had, you know, hand in the warehouse and had, yep. you know, daily talks with the warehouse team. So, you know, where could my skill set be most used? What's the team that needs the most help, or what's the team that is lacking the most in maybe leadership, or maybe in just in culture, mm-hmm. in positive attitude,
mm-hmm.
because that's what I try and bring every single day is a positive right attitude. I mean, you know, like when I wake up in the morning, people are like, how are you doing today? I'm like, I woke up. What can I complain about? Because you can't. I mean, you know, if you wake up, you won the day, right?
That's true.
That's the first part of the battle.
Not everybody woke up today.
Exactly. Not everyone woke up. So
not everyone did.
You know, I was just you know, trying to explain to her. I was like, you know, anywhere I can be effective,
yeah.
you know, and whether it be on the culture side, whether it be on just the work side, because I actually enjoy work. I enjoy physical labor.
Sure.
So it was then right around this time, COVID hit. And we all started working from home. And it was when we started working from home, it was within the first 2 weeks of me working at home. I mean, I got really bored, honestly, because it was like my social interactions became null and void because we were in the office and I started freaking out a little bit because I feel I need to be around people. But I got a call from Angie and asking if I wanted to go out in the warehouse to lead our Amazon team. And I said, absolutely, I would love to. Number one, knew nothing about the process, but I wasn't worried about that
right.
because you know, processes are processes. Yeah. You can learn them. It's sure. it's about how you handle the people. Mm-hmm. And I got super excited, went out into the warehouse, and it was, to me, it was back to like being in a restaurant without being in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because wow. I was able to, like, because that was the one thing I loved and I loved most about the restaurant was the in-day dealings of with staff yeah. as well as our guests.
Right.
I mean, I love, you know, like I said, I'm a social butterfly. Yeah. So having that, being out in the warehouse and it just had that more of a restaurant feel.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. So
awesome.
Started with Amazon, worked in our Amazon, and was actually supervisor over Amazon and UPS sales for a few months. And then ended up moving over to 228 for a couple of months.
Okay.
They needed some help.
During COVID?
COVID.
There was a lot of sharing and integration and creative problem solving. And oftentimes we would redeploy people into another business unit because I think John can help this team dig out of this hole.
Yep. And what they needed help with was just organizing their shipping area and getting some processes in place. And it was awesome. Got to go over there and got some great exposure and met some awesome people.
It's fantastic.
And I got to see an awesome different side of the business.
Yeah.
So now I got to see a little bit of production, whereas I'm on just the straight distribution side.
Sure.
So we don't have production in our facility. Mm-hmm. So it was great to see. So then spent a couple months over, at 228 and then came back and started what was called the planning team. So the planning team is kind of like the brain cell for the operations. They're the one that schedule all of our RPOs. They do all the releasing for the orders. They help schedule all the truckloads for all of our WD customers. They move around reservations to make sure, our oldest orders are getting out first. And, and they're the ones that deal directly with the customer service teams with hot emails or making sure this parts go to this orders, things like that.
Wow.
So help start create that team. And then within the last year, became outbound operations manager.
Okay.
So in the course of 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. In the course of 3 years, went from.
I didn't count them, but I'm thinking something like five or six or half a dozen-ish in that neighborhood.
No, in the course of 3 years. And, and when I first came in, I was like, I don't want to deal with leadership. I just want to, just want to come in and do a 9-to-5. And then, like I said, I got that itch.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy.
Right.
I couldn't be happier. So, but where my personal journey really started was, even in that first year with Lippert, I still had some issues with alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was still, drinking more than I should. And it was that first year when I got out in the warehouse is when the leadership classes started with Kim and Michelle.
Okay.
And that was where my eyes really got open.
Really?
Because there was a lot of things I wasn't taking care of. I wasn't taking care of myself. Yeah. I wasn't taking care of myself personally, professionally, and financially. And I had never also had any kind of leadership direction like this before. So this was awesome.
This episode of Lippert Built to Lead podcast is brought to you by the Lippert Academy for Leadership, the team committed to enhancing your organization's leadership and cultural goals with strategic leadership development programs, on-site training, executive coaching, speaking engagement, and customized solutions. Find out how to get your organization involved at www.lci1.com/academy. Or send us a message at academy@lci1.com. That's academy@lci1.com.
What folks may not understand is we have a regular cadence in our business units of leadership training, leadership coaching. And so those interactions, we pull our leaders together and we talk everything from our core values. We may talk just some skills development in some particular area of leadership. And again, and our leadership coaches and trainers are part of the team. Like Kim and Michelle didn't fly in from somewhere else and land here for a week and then scoot out of here. Like they show up all the time, right?
Yep.
Some, virtual, physically, all that kind of stuff. So just to help people get an understanding and a context for what you're describing.
Yep.
But so this became pretty impactful for you.
Yeah, it became very impactful. So we started with, I remember, because this was still height of COVID, it was all teams, right? But it was awesome because this is where I got to start taking, and I'm going to forget the name of the personality test. It's the one through nine.
The Enneagram.
We go. Enneagram. Took the Enneagram, and I had never really taken a personality test like that before. And then as I did it, I was like, oh my goodness, this perfectly describes me. But what was really cool was I also got to see how I react to other people. And it really helped me understand how I deal with other people and how I handle people. And that became like a point of self-awareness.
Yeah. So what are you on the Enneagram?
And
describe for folks that may not be familiar what that is.
So I'm a 7 and a 2.
Okay.
It means I'm a socialite, essentially. Okay. is really what it means.
Makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Yep. Hyperactive, get
and
distracted.
And 2, I think, is the helper too.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So, okay. Yeah. So, and that's also kind of a fault of my nature is that I'm almost too forgiving sometimes. Mm. Like I guess I've gotten better. So, you know, before with hard conversations. And this is one of the great things that the leadership development team has really helped me with personally was
sure.
I used to be scared of hard conversations. Okay. I used to run away from them and avoid them because I didn't want to hurt people per se. I didn't want to make people feel bad.
Yeah.
But the thing I realized was I'm not making them feel bad. I'm actually helping them because when, if someone doesn't know something's wrong, how do they know what to fix?
Absolutely.
How do they know what to fix? They don't. So I was actually doing people a disservice by not having these hard conversations with people.
That's so good, John. One of our core values is honesty, integrity, and candor, right? I mean, that's a lot packed into one core value. But this to me represents like the candor piece of it. And I'm like you. I would say I'm naturally conflict avoidant. Like that's how I naturally roll in terms of my personality. So when we actually have those conversations with people and we do it in a caring way, right? Yep. I mean, you don't have to play hardball with folks.
Yep.
But to be candid and kind, but straightforward is very important in terms of like expressing care for them. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. You know, so right there you see like, wow, for however many years you were in the restaurant business, you probably like avoided more than you should have.
I did. Yeah.
But now you're upskilling in a critical area.
Yep. Yeah, because you know, I didn't have those tools in my bag before. I didn't have the knowledge. And you know, because we didn't get any leadership direction.
Sure.
It was make sure your costs are low, make sure you know your hours or your labor's in line, you know, and make sure you're putting as much money in the bottom line as possible.
Yep.
And it wasn't there wasn't intentional development behind leadership. Whereas, you know, when I started out in the warehouse and got into leadership, there was intentional development around leadership, and it was awesome. But it was more than just even leadership; it was also personal. You know, so, you know, with the leader action cards, you have the personal side. And I had never once written goals before in my life. Never,
again,
never
another
before.
Brand new thing, right?
Yeah, okay. another brand new thing. You know, I'd always heard, goal setting, but never really knew what it was.
Sure.
So now through this leadership development program, I got to learn about SMART goals. And it was like, oh, okay, like, I think I can do this. And then I started making goals for myself, which I had never done before.
Right.
So
this is some transformative stuff you're about to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Because your life has changed dramatically.
It's in the last 2 years, it's been complete change.
Talk about that.
So first was a financial goal. So I had never really cared about my credit score, never looked at it before. But as we started, you know, going through these, you know, obviously there's personal things and there's finances, one of them. And what was awesome is through the leadership development program, they brought in I believe his name was Luis from First Source Bank.
Mm-hmm.
To do financial classes.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Number one, a company that does free financial classes for their team members is never had that before.
What'd you take away from that?
Blown away. That I wasn't very good at managing my money.
first takeaway. I'm not good at this.
I'm not good at this. So, you know,
but there is help.
Yeah, there is help. And so the one thing I never paid attention to my credit score.
Yeah.
Didn't care, didn't really even care about it. It wasn't a point of interest until, you know, talking with Luis and going through some of the financial part of the leadership. I'm like, I should really put a focus on this. So I ended up looking into my credit score and found I was at a 580, and I was like, oh man, that's not good. I should probably do some work. So ended up and went and got a real low limit credit card that had fees, obviously, because when you have a low credit score, you're going to have to pay some fees on some cards to get some. But then slowly built it, and within a year got from 580 to 720. And
excellent.
still holding right around steady right there now.
Right
still
on.
Trying to, you know, still go up. But that was the start of it. And I was like, you know, when I saw, okay, because I wrote down some goals. Okay, I want to be here by this point. And I was doing it. I was getting my
awesome.
Credit card and paying off every month.
You're hitting goals and you're like, I can do this.
Yeah. So I was like, man, if I can get my credit score to 720, what else can I start doing? And at this point, so having been mostly sitting at a desk and just having been drinking too much, I didn't eat very well. I kind of got unhealthy. So I got to a point where I was, so I'd always been 150 pounds as a kid. You know, couldn't gain any weight, 150 pounds, whatever, skin and bones. I got up to 230 pounds and I wasn't healthy. I wasn't happy. And part of it was like, I could tell like if I go up and downstairs, I just get tired.
Wow.
And I was like, I can't do this. You know, I have a daughter at home. I want to be able to play with. I want to be able to go run in the yard. I, one of the awesome things with Lippert is that they have different programs where you can get, you know, discounts and whatnot. And one of them, the gym membership.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, let me look into the gym membership. I had always told myself, you can't go to the gym. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know the workouts.
All this lousy self-talk.
Exactly. All this lousy self-talk. But then when I saw what I could do with my credit score, I was like, oh, well, all right, I know I can do this with the gym. And I had other guys that I worked with that I still work with that we hold each other accountable. Did you go to the gym today? Did you go to the gym today? And I just started going. So about a year ago, I started going to the gym. And today, I now am down to 190 pounds.
Look at that.
I mean, 190 pounds can run like I hadn't been able to run before. So part of this also was I smoked from the time I was 16 until I was about 35, somewhere around there. This October will be 4 years that I quit.
Holy smokes.
So, you know, between drinking and smoking, I wasn't healthy. And now I make gym four to five times a week. I have a routine, push, pull, legs, push, pull. And it's, you know, 5 days a week.
Like
I
said, this is remarkable.
Some weeks only four. but it depends. But if I go four, it's because I'm golfing.
Gotcha,
so,
okay.
So I still get my exercise
there
in.
There you go.
The alcohol, I mean, don't get me wrong, I still drink socially. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means. There's still things, you know,
but you're not doing 8 to 12 drinks a day.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. And when I'm at home, I don't drink, you know, like, I mean, I still may, you know, every once in a while go out, you know, after work on a Friday, have a beer, whatnot, but that's completely fine because now like water is my friend.
There you go.
I mean, a gallon of water a day, minimum. And just, I'm mentally healthier than I've ever been.
Yeah.
No, I now know that I can actually do anything that I want to do.
Yeah.
I just have to write it down. As soon as I write it down and start writing out my SMART goals and putting it on paper, give myself actionable timelines, things are possible.
Yeah.
And what's awesome is that I would have never learned any of this if it wasn't through the leadership direction and development that I got through
Lippert
that, once again, would have never gotten the restaurant business.
Wow.
And
you know, I got to say, John, this is a remarkable story. I mean, it's remarkable because these things got put in motion, it seems like. You shifted away from an industry that was pretty taxing for you.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, God bless all those wonderful people that do the restaurant thing every day. My son's in the restaurant business. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
It's a heavy load to bear. Mm-hmm. But you need to separate from it. And so it's so powerful to me that just changing into a new industry, getting in a new space, recognizing there's something different here, learning some new skill, one of those being goal setting, SMART goals, now smarter goals, right? We keep pushing the envelope on this. And just coming to understand that, like, I've got some potential locked up inside of me. And so, like, you're in this discovery phase right now.
Yeah. And it's cool. And don't get me wrong. I do not regret at all my work in the restaurant business. I mean, it gave me a solid foundation. And I honestly think everyone should work in the restaurant business. I think it's very humbling.
Yeah.
Very, very humbling. I think everyone would treat people different if they spent 6 months
working
in a restaurant business. It's wild.
Obviously, to me, I don't want to put anything in your mouth, but obviously to me, like, Lippert played a major role in your life transition.
Yep.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
So I guess maybe let's kind of wrap this up along those lines, like, just changing industries for you ended up being life-changing.
Yep. So, it was life-changing. You know, the one thing I think sometimes people get hung up on is money, right? I was really scared, because it is big to lose 33% of your salary to start over again. But I quickly realized money doesn't make happiness. I was actually going home happy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, I was going home smiling. I wasn't worn out. I was able to now give more energy into my marriage and into my kid, especially energy I didn't have before because, when I left work, I just wanted to drink and I just wanted to sit on the couch and be a lazy bum.
Yeah.
Cause I just didn't have the energy. Now the energy is there and the money doesn't, the money doesn't make the happiness, like I said. So, Simon Sinek, become a huge Simon Sinek fan. One of the things he talks about, and it's my favorite YouTube video that he has, this 33-minute video, it's 22 minutes, and then there's like a 13-minute question and answer. But in that 22-minute video, the one thing he talks about is kids who have parents that work late, it's not the parents work late, right? It's that parents come home from unhappy jobs.
Yeah.
So that's where, when you have kids that are problem children, that don't necessarily feel loved or that are end up being bullies, it's most of the time because their parents come home from a job that they hate.
Yeah.
So they're not happy.
Yeah.
So their unhappiness from work bleeds over into their life and vice versa. So, you know, the one thing I talk with my staff about, right, or team members about,
sure,
is, especially my supervisors, is when they're dealing with their team members, is, you know, we always talk about leave your personal life at the door, right? Well, there's personal life and there's work life. But there's one word that's common in both, and that's life.
Yeah, for sure.
They always intertwine.
Yes.
So if you can do the best you can for your team members while you're there, give them the most positive energy you can. Be there to support them. When they fail, pick them back up, you know, and continue to support them and send them home happy every day.
Yeah.
You're going to have better team members.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have people that care and that want to come back and that want to continue to fight for you.
Yeah.
Just as much as they want to fight for themselves. I mean, I never wanted to fight for myself until I realized I could fight for myself.
Sure.
And had the tools put in place and actually had people that cared. And
yeah.
People that, you know, above, you know, leadership above me that cared about my development, cared about me personally as a person. I mean,
yeah.
The fact, you know, so this even all started from Jason coming and doing a listening session at our plant.
Okay.
I mean, it's phenomenal. You have a CEO of a company with 15,000 employees that still makes it a point to come out and sit with the team members and listen.
Yeah.
And that to me was also super.
It's uncommon.
Yeah, it's very uncommon, but yeah. It has an impact.
This is great, John. I mean, as we wrap up today, the story that you're telling is powerful. So thank you, man, for opening up about some of your past and what's kind of led you to this place. And I can't tell you how important it is then that we have transformed leaders now that are kind of leading people into hopefully more transformation. And you probably have a few stories up the road, and perhaps we're going to talk to some of them in the days to come. But you're absolutely right. Like with all the time that we spend at work, you know, we're either going to be miserable at home or we're going to actually go home and add life to our family.
Yep.
So I can appreciate that as well, my friend. So, John, thank you so much, man, for sharing your story with us today. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me.
Yeah, man.
This has been an absolute blast.
Awesome.
I mean, like I said, I couldn't be happier. I look forward to the many more years, hopefully, retirement.
Yeah, right on.
Through Lippert.
Thanks for everything you do, my friend. And
if
you're listening today and you own a business or you're part of a business that's looking to make some transformational changes in your culture, we would love to come alongside you in any way that we can. So if you're interested, please reach out to us at academy@lci1.com. That's academy@lci1.com. We will be in touch with you to talk to you about our story and perhaps help you with yours. Thanks again for listening today, John. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you, Edgar. Have a great day.
Thank you. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to today's Built to Lead episode. If you have a story to share or are interested in learning how you can be a business as a force for good, please visit us at www.lci1.com/academy. And please follow Lippert on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and Twitter. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast belong solely to the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the view or mission of Lippert Components Incorporated.